So, as you guys know, when we were in our what is now our kids' campus, when we were meeting in that auditorium, we started a series called Beyond These Walls. And I was really intentional when we were in there to say that, hey, God's called us beyond these walls. And I began to allude to the reality that even though once we get into the high school, God will still be calling us beyond these walls. And so one of the things that I did Sunday was emphasize that right at the start of the message. I just said, hey guys, I mean, we were kind of celebrating, like, hey, we're here, yay. But the fact of the matter is that God has called us beyond these walls in our future when God provides the right piece of real estate and the right building, and we are in a permanent home that is large enough to serve the church that God has blessed us to have. Then I will want to communicate, God has called us beyond even these walls. We are the church, and I believe that God blesses a mobilized church. And so, the heartbeat behind the series is that we never get too comfortable about our gathering spaces, or never make it about, maybe it's a better way to say, about those gathering spaces. Man, it's about the mission, and it's about advancing the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I really started there. And then I started with the verse that we've been using for weeks and weeks, found in John chapter 4, verse 35. And it says this: you know the saying, this is Jesus speaking, and all of you have heard me communicate this verse already. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. And then I love that he doesn't leave that to our interpretation, but he plainly declares what he's trying to say. In verse 36, he says, the harvesters are paid good wages. I think that in our context, that means that God blesses those that are about the harvest, so serve team. I think that God is blessing your life because you are focused on the harvest. Thank you for being focused. I just think that's a nice promise from Jesus. But the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit that they harvest is people brought into eternal life. And that's what this is all about. And so the heartbeat really is for our church to maintain a sense of urgency. Man, we can't get off mission and get our minds on the wrong things. And so even though the major focal point of this past weekend was setting up things and then taking down things and trolleys and kids' campuses and the new and the expansion and like the, and it was a moment. And it was a moment to live in and to embrace, I think, and to celebrate. But the reality is that it can't be about those things. Like, those things help us make it about what it's about, and that is people being brought into eternal life. And the Bible says that, man, that the angels rejoice when that happens. The angels are, I mean, like, heaven basically throws a party when people experience true life change because of the hope of the gospel. And so, the title of the message this week is Being Seen, Being Seen. And I'm going to take us to a pretty well-known story in the Bible. I would imagine that you've probably heard of it, at least at some point. But if not, we're going to read it together. It's found in Luke chapter 19. So if you're a note taker or you're following along in your Bible, Luke chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And the Bible says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. And that's where you have probably heard the story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, if you've ever sang the song. I did, because that's how I grew up. And that was my little kids' church experience. But there was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector in that region, and he became very rich. The context here is this: that tax collectors in this era were not well respected. They just weren't, man. These people were, they exploited people. They overcharged on people's taxes probably every single time, and they would give the government what was theirs and then line their own pocket. And quite frankly, the government was fine with that. Hey, whatever. They didn't care. As long as the government got what they wanted, you can do whatever you want to do. And so tax collectors were despised by people. They didn't walk around with a lot of respect, but they certainly had a lot of money, probably had a lot of cool things, but they did not have a good reputation. That's kind of important to this story too, I think. And so this tax collector, Zacchaeus, Verse 3 says that he tried to get a good look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. That's where the song comes from, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And so because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. I just want to pause here to help build the context a little bit, that Zacchaeus is not only a despised tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. The best way I know how to describe that is like he's like the mob boss. So he's like especially bad and disrespected by people. And so there's this opinion of people like that. I mean, they're actually being called in recorded text notorious sinners. And yet Jesus on his way pauses, looks up, and calls Zacchaeus by name. Zacchaeus had been seen. The interesting thing to me, though, is this, that when Jesus says, "I got to be a guest in your home," which just think about that. It's not like Jesus said, "Come visit me at the church." It's not like he said, "Come to my house." He's like, I need to be a guest in your home today. And then the Bible says that Zacchaeus was totally excited about that, which I think talks a lot about the character of Jesus, the kind of person Jesus was. People wanted to be around Jesus. Sinful people, broken people, people that had issues, they wanted to be around Jesus. And I think that's important for us to recall and recollect as followers of Christ, that like, look, people might not love church. People might not love all things church do, but people, whether they know it or not, want to be near Jesus, because everything we're looking for in life, everything is found in Christ Jesus. Peace, joy, hope, no matter what it is, significance, security, whatever you people are hunting for, Jesus has it all. And so there's something magnetic and attractive about Christ Jesus. And we see it over and over in scripture that all people wanted to be around Jesus, the rich and the poor, the needy and the broken, the successful. Anyway, I'm probably spending a little more time on this than I should, but people simply wanted to be around Christ Jesus. So then the people are all upset. Oh my gosh, he's gone to be, the guest of this notorious sinner. Whatever. They're crying about it. Okay. So while they're complaining that Jesus is in the home of Zacchaeus, something must happen between verses 7 and 8. So here they are complaining, and here Jesus and Zacchaeus are hanging out and eating. Verse 8 says this: "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, if I have cheated people of their taxes, and I'll give them back four times as much.' And Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost.'" What I love so much about this is that something life-changing is taking place in the life of this notorious sinner when he's in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus declares, "Salvation has come to this house today." The mission of our church is to get people in the presence of Jesus, because it's life-changing and transformative, because what they're looking for is found in him. The reason I brought this story, because I could have brought a lot of stories, is because I recognize that Zacchaeus was seen by Jesus. So Zacchaeus is on this pursuit, and for whatever reason, for whatever the pursuit was, maybe Jesus was just a little famous or whatever, Zacchaeus just wants to go see him. Man, hey, he's a little bit of a celebrity maybe in this time, and I gotta see him, and I know he's gonna come through here. I'm gonna climb this tree. And Jesus slows down amidst all the people that are probably trying to get a glimpse at him and all these things. Jesus slows down. He looks up at Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. Zacchaeus, I need to be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus was seen. Now, I want to share a story that you as a serve team member, there's a high potential that you've heard before. I knew on Sunday that a lot of the church family had probably not heard it. I know that I've shared it more in a context of the serve team and particularly serve team leadership, like our captains and so forth. And so some of you have heard this story and you know it. And if it's one of those sort of like, forgive me if you've heard it, but I do think it's important that we understand as a church. And so when I first became the pastor of Church on the Rock, and many of you have heard me say this before, I did not know how to pastor. I had a willing heart. I had a willingness. There was a call on my life at the time. I don't even think I fully realized the call of pastor on me. Even when I said, yes, I'll do this, I was just a willing vessel ready to go. I had been begging God for an open door and for an opportunity. And there was without a doubt, this was it. What I knew though, truly, is that God had used me many times before for years prior to that, years and years prior to that, to preach. But to pastor, it's a whole different thing. Preaching to people is one thing. Pastoring people is a whole other game. And what I recognized right away was, like, man, I've got experience preaching, but I have no clue how to pastor. And so I just began to go look for help. I was like, man, I need to go find some people that do this and do it well, that have had success, that have seen, you know, God move in their churches or whatever. And man, let me go find some help. And I began to hunt for help. And here's what I thank God for. The first few people that opened their door to me to offer me help, the first few, I walked out of those meetings and here's what I said. I do not know how to pastor, but what I know is I won't do it like that. I was glad they were willing to help me. But I was like, that's not my heart. That's not my personality. And so I felt a sense of desperation. God, help me. I don't want to preach. I want to pastor. And so I just began to continue. I just continue to hunt, like search. God, help me. And so to get to the point, through a series of events that are insignificant, they would not even matter to any of you. They spoke to me that like God was in this. I get connected to a video of a pastor. His name's Pastor Chris. And it's a video where he's talking about a pastor's conference that they offer to any pastor. And so I had never heard of him before, never heard of his church before. This was my first encounter with even hearing his name or his church or his ministry or anything like that. And for me, it was more than coincidental that the first connection that I hear about him was about this pastor's conference. And at the end of his video, he said something that captured my attention. He said, here's what we realize is that most of the pastors that need this conference the most can't even afford to get here. And so we offer scholarships if you would like to apply. And I'm like, this sounds great. And so I just clicked the link. I answered all the questions and I hit submit. And if you've ever entered to win anything before, it felt just like that. I'm gonna buy the raffle ticket. I'm just gonna contribute to the thing, you know, whatever. And that's it. Money is gone, or I'm gonna enter to win. I'll never hear anything else about it. That was exactly my expectation. 2 days later, I get an email that says, "Congratulations, you have qualified for our full scholarship." And I was freaking out. I was telling Lauren, like, we won the sweepstakes. Like, I didn't even think this happened to real people. You know, I couldn't even explain it. I didn't even know what full scholarship meant. I had no idea. I was just like, awesome. And so at the time I was working a full-time job. Nobody, there was not a staff. There was not a paid staff at Church on the Rock. We were just, you know, trying to get the thing. We were just trying to do services on the weekend. So I approached our board of directors and I said, guys, would you be willing to nest egg a little bit of the giving in the money and be willing to just give Lauren and I like a love offering, like a gift that would equal what we would have made at work that conference week so that we could still pay our bills and all that kind of stuff and go and learn from this conference and prayerfully bring back some good information for our church. The board made that happen. We show up in Birmingham at this church, at this conference. And guys, I got to tell you, like, huge, big, it was overwhelmingly large. Like, they have an overflow auditorium that's probably the size of the St. Augustine High School auditorium that we just moved into. It's their overflow auditorium. I mean, this place is massive. They have that giant indoor playground for their kids. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so I'm walking up to this big, big thing, a little overwhelmed by it all. And I had no idea what to expect. And so you can imagine a pastor that comes from this tiny little church in a tiny little town that goes to this mega church organization in a big city. I'm a guy that does not know what I'm doing at all. I'm just trying to follow God's call. And I show up into this overwhelming atmosphere. And it made me feel, I felt like I was the smallest fish in the world's largest pond. And so we walk in, I have no idea what to expect. And I was overwhelmed with the way that we were treated. We get to the doors and people are like, welcome, we're so glad you're here. And I honestly thought they were talking to people behind us. I really did. To the point that I kind of looked back and realized no one's behind us, they're talking to us. And I was like, oh, well, hello, yeah, great. Like, we're glad to be here. No idea what to expect. What do we do? Oh, you're going to go right there to that counter and you're going to check in. And we go and we check in and, hey, we're Josh and Lauren from St. Augustine. Oh my gosh, we're so glad you're here. This is amazing. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I seriously think, like, I don't think they know. I think they think I'm someone else. They hand me an envelope and then they say, you guys are going to go to that next table over there. Okay, great. And we walk over there. Hello, we're Josh and Lauren from St. Augustine. Oh my gosh, we're glad you're here. Like, this overwhelming reception to us. And they just basically said, hey, man, make yourselves comfortable. Go anywhere you want to go. There's snacks out there. There's waters over there. We have coffee. You just go anywhere you want to go. The conference is going to kick off in an hour or whatever it was. Man, we're so thankful that you're here. And I didn't even know what to expect. I open up this envelope that they hand me, and there was a check for $500 written to Church on the Rock. Like, they paid for us to go to their conference. And they said, hey, we want you to use this toward your hotel, rental cars, flights, like anything that it might have taken for you to get here. We want you to be able to use this. And I was thinking to myself, like, who does this? We go through a 2.5 day conference where we're in sessions and things, and the whole time they're giving us food. And I'm not talking, they weren't giving us bologna sandwiches and paper bags, y'all. They were giving us like food. At the first night, we had a crawfish boil in the lobby of their church. I'm talking about crawfish on tables all throughout their lobby. I was staggered, it was unbelievable. They were giving us shirts and CDs back. Remember when people wanted CDs? Like, we were getting CDs given to us and books and all kinds of amazing things. It was overwhelming. And the whole time I had my hands up because I kept thinking, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch. They want me to buy something. They want me to commit to something. I'm going to have to give to something to be a part of this. And at the very end of it all, the conference ends with prayer. And they say, thanks for coming. And they just sent us away. And I cannot tell you how transformative that was for my life. I cannot even express to you how meaningful that experience was to me. Because they gave to us when we had nothing to give to them. That we couldn't have done a thing for them, and they gave to us. I would bet that I was probably pastoring the smallest church in the conference. I would be a little surprised if there was any church there smaller than ours at the time. I felt like the smallest fish in the biggest pond ever. But here is exactly what happened to me in that experience. I was seen. They saw me. They treated me with dignity. They didn't treat me like a small pastor that didn't deserve to be there. They just treated me like a pastor that was at their conference. They gave us the best seats, the best food, the best gifts, the best resources, the best relationships. They just gave and gave and gave. And then they just sent us away with no strings attached. And what I'm communicating to us is this, that I was seen and it transformed my life. It really did. Now, I already knew Christ Jesus, but it changed my entire perspective on how to pastor. And I said, this is a place that I can learn from. It was that experience that I left with a mantra, an inner drive. And what I said was, I want every person that with everything inside of me, I will spend my life trying to make sure that every person that comes to Church on the Rock feels like that. I want them to feel like I felt. I want them to be seen. Serve team, I truly believe that people, when they come to our church, and I'm not talking about the people that are mad at their last church and they're now in our church. I'm not talking about the people that moved into I am talking about these people, but not completely. I'm not talking about the people that maybe just moved into the city and they loved their church in their former town and now they're here and they're just looking for a life-giving church. I want those people seen. There's no doubt. But I think that there are people that are going to visit our church, that we're going to invite to our church, like the notorious sinners. They're going to come to our church, that we're going to invite to our church. They're going to wander into our church because they're looking for hope. They're desperate. They feel like the smallest fish in the largest pond of this world. They have reputations and backgrounds and baggage and things that are going on. And everything they need, they'll find in Jesus. And we get to be the delivery system of that reality for them. And so my heart is that people that come to be a part of Church on the Rock, whether they're here on vacation, making it their permanent church home, leaning in and serving, or simply attending, no matter what it is, that they are seen. And I believe really quickly, and I'm going to close quick. I believe there are three ways that people feel seen. And the first one is this. I think people feel seen when they're loved. They're loved. I don't think that you have to know people to love people. I think that you can just choose to love people, and that's the end of the sentence. That's the decision that I've made. I love people. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. John 4:11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." My encouragement to us is that we just make a decision to love people, all people, everybody. Let's just love them. You don't have to know anything about them to love them. We should love them because God loves them. God is love, and we want to express that. The second thing that I think we can do to help people to feel seen is that they are not only loved, but that they are known. That they're known, like they're a part of something. We have this thing that we say to people when they come in, "Hey, we're better because you're here." I think that's a truth. I don't think that we say that because it's nice to say. I think we say that because it's a reality. Everybody has something to bring to the table, to offer. There's greatness in every single person because God created those people. When people meet Jesus for the first time, greatness is in them because Jesus is in them. And so not only do we want people to be loved, before we know anything about them, we love them. We want them to also be known and be a part of this thing, like their name and their story, and connect them to who we are and what we do and invite them into our community that they would be known. Remember, Jesus paused. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. He called Zacchaeus by name. He knew him. And then he went and had fellowship with him. And so my heart is that people at Church on the Rock are not only loved, but that they are known, that we build real, true, authentic relationships with them, that we establish some things with them, that they become a part of who we are and we become a part of who they are, that they are loved and that they are known. And then lastly, that they are guided. I think it's important that people feel guided. And I want to clarify something. The Bible says this in John chapter 14, verse 26, that the helper, and I emphasize these next three words, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I believe with all of my heart that the the number one guide to the life of the Christian is the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwells within them. More than anything, the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Spirit will teach you all things. I think that the another like most important guide to the life of the believer is the truth and the power of God's word. We have to have the word of God daily deposited into us in order that it's our daily bread that we feed on that. And then I think underneath those things, the Spirit of the living God, the Bible says he only says what he hears the Father say. The Holy Spirit will never mislead us, ever. He will always guide us into all truth. He is our helper. He's our counselor. He is our guide. Not only do we need primarily the Spirit of God, primarily the Word of God, but then the Church of God. I think then that's where the church comes into play. I think then that's where the pastor matters, because you can't misplace. God's got to be at the top, because even the pastor, even the serve team captain, even the staff member, we don't always get it right in life. And we're still learning too, right? And so we can't ever become celebritized into a place that's like holier than thou. It doesn't work that way. And so, but at the same time, we also want to do our best to guide people. We want to speak into people's lives. We want to get engaged and know people, know their stories, and have conversations with them, encourage them when they need it. We challenge them sometimes when they need it. Be the kind of brothers and sisters that love them enough to engage into the real things of their life, even their struggles, and even the times that we need to say, hey man, I think that you might be living in a way that God wants to call you higher than that. And we dig into sometimes some of the difficult conversations that have to happen. But the reality is that the Spirit of God must lead them first. The Word of God must lead them first. And then the Church of God then can engage and help be a part of that guide. So our role, and I'm going to recap and close, that our role to help people be seen like Zacchaeus was seen by Jesus is that they are loved, that they are known, that they are guided. This is our heart. This is why we do the things that we do. This is why we do church services. This is why we do life groups. This is why we do All Access. This is why we do serve team. This is why they exist, because we're trying to help guide people. We're trying to be a part of the guiding principle of their life. But I'm going to finish with some things. I'm going to read to you exactly how I wrote them, because I just felt like it was strong the way I typed it out. At Church on the Rock, it's not about church services. It's about people at church knowing God. It's not about life groups. It's about people in life groups finding freedom. It's not about All Access. It's about people in All Access discovering purpose. It's not about the serve team. It's about people on the serve team making a difference. It's all about people being seen and having the opportunity to be redeemed by God. This is our mission. This is our call. Listen, everybody, my heart, my hope is that at Church on the Rock, that we don't make it about the wrong things, that we don't misplace what this is all about. It's not about an expansion to a high school. It's not about cool things. It's not about snazzy, amazing looking trolleys that I'm super proud of. It's not about a kid's campus that I think looks better than I could have imagined already, and it'll continue to improve. It's not about a life group. It's not about church. It's about people having the experience of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reality of what his presence in our lives do. All the things that we just that I just described that we do, they're there just to help guide people. So our heart at Church on the Rock is that people would be loved, people would be known, people would be guided. I believe that if we are doing those things, that people will feel seen. Okay, I know that all of you know Jesus and you love Jesus, so I'm not going to lead us into a prayer of salvation. I'm going to close us in prayer. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for what you do. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity I had to share this message with our serve team. Father, I pray as we continue, Lord God, to pursue you and seek your face, as we continue to follow the call that you've placed on our church's life, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would help us to continue to do it with excellence and with passion, with energy. Give us the endurance that we need in this season. And Father, I pray more than anything that you would help us to better equip our church, to better help people be seen in our church. Father, we want to love them. We want to know them, and we want to help guide them. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would empower us to do those things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, you're awesome. I love you. Thank you for your time. See you soon.